Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in Yahweh's hand like the watercourses. He turns it wherever he desires. Now, to turn is the same word translated elsewhere to incline. David often speaks of how he inclined his heart to God's word. And yet God will confirm us in that. On one hand, God is not going to force people against their will to be spiritual or to respond to his word, but on the other hand, if he leaves it completely to human free will and to human intellectual effort, well, that's also not going to work because we simply are too weak. And so on one hand, he does not force, and yet on the other hand, we are not helpless and we are not alone. But he, shall I say, very strongly confirms or encourages. He can work directly on the human heart to incline it. If we are inclined towards him, if we want to go his way, he will incline us further. And this is really the work of the Holy Spirit. Not that it's in terms of miracles and pulling rabbits out of hats and stuff, speaking in foreign languages today. Rather, the idea is that God is eager to work directly in the human psychology, if you like, which is what we desperately need. And so David prays that God would incline his heart away from sin. That's in Psalm 141. And indeed, he was the king of Israel, and God was willing to do that, because God can turn or incline it wherever he wishes. And yet, as I keep saying, God is not going to force. Now, we are told that Solomon's heart was turned away by his wives, away from God and to their idols. That's in 1 Kings 11. But here he says that the king's heart is in Yahweh's hand and he turns it, whatever he desires. But Solomon, who was the king, his heart was turned away by his wives. So you get the impression, putting the two passages together, that God was trying to turn his heart one way, but his wives turned it another way. It just shows that God will not force. And why did it end up that the influence of the wives won? Well, because that's where Solomon himself wanted to go. And I just wonder whether here he goes just a tad too far when he says the king's heart is in Yahweh's hand, like the watercourses, he turns it whatever he desires. Yes, God does incline human hearts, but it is not so that God simply just picks up a human heart, a human mind, and forces it. And I wonder if Solomon thought, well, because I'm the king of Israel, I needn't worry about the state of my heart. God is going to look after that. He'll just take me wherever I need to go, because I am the son of David. And I think that's where he failed. And we will likewise fail. And those who think that the Holy Spirit just zaps you against your will and forces you pretty much to be spiritually minded, I think they also are losing something there, because you can never take away the element of human volition, of human free will, because otherwise we are puppets. And God doesn't want puppets. He wants a valid two-way relationship with people. And so verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the hearts. Well, that of itself shows that the attitude of a person's mind or heart is critical to God. And so much New Testament teaching, especially of the Lord himself, is exactly about this, that your heart is so important. This is what true spirituality is about, who you are when nobody's looking. What your core heart position really is. But it wouldn't be so important if, in fact, God was just forcing you one way or the other, as he wants, quite above your volition. And you see here how every way of a man appears to be right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Well, yeah. What we therefore need, because we are not good at self-examination, we tend to assume that I am right and my ways are right in my eyes, what we do need is a takeover by God in our hearts. And yet, as I say, on the other hand, God will not force. But if we are totally open to him and we say, yes, please come into my heart, into my mind, and take me over. I willingly allow you entrance to do this, then I believe he will. And so you come to the huge emphasis in the New Testament about the action of God through the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. In Romans 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Galatians 4, he has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. He will give us that intimacy of relationship with him as a little child to a father through his Spirit transforming our hard hearts. 2 Corinthians 1, the Holy Spirit is the earnest, the guarantee, the deposit in our hearts. Ephesians 3, Paul prays that the Spirit might work in their inner man, in the very innermost part of a person's life. This is what we so desperately need. And this is, as I say, what God is willing to do. But we have to be careful not to go as far as Solomon went, it seems to me, by not paying attention to his own heart, because he assumes that, well, he's the king, and so God's going to just give him a heart that's pleasing to God. You know, God respects human free will immensely. Now, unfortunately, Solomon writes things here in Proverbs which are true as far as they go, and yet I think that he just does not see the personal reality of it. Just in verse 3, you have an example. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to Yahweh than sacrifice. Well, that's repeating what his father David learnt when he sinned with Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and he says, you don't want sacrifice, you want a broken and a contrite heart. But Solomon offered huge numbers of sacrifices, absolutely incredible. Thousands of animals were sacrificed by him when he dedicated the temple. But he says here that, oh no, God doesn't really want all that, he's not into that. And yet he does that. It's like he says, you know, watch out for the Gentile woman, she'll turn away your heart. But he goes for the Gentile women, and they do turn away his heart, and so on. And so you just think that, well, you know, what he says is true about God inclining and turning human hearts, but he says it specifically about the king. And of course he has himself in view. And I think, although, as I say, that's true that God does turn hearts, I think he takes it to the point where he just thinks, oh yeah, personal spirituality, spiritual mindedness, don't worry about it, God will sort that out. No, the struggle for control of the mind, for spiritual mindedness, this is got to be very real, and it is a fundamental part of spirituality. But Solomon, it seems, was not interested in that, and I think that's why in the end, the influence of his wives, his own inclination, it seems, towards their idols was far stronger than the inclination of God towards spirituality, towards worshipping him. Because God does not force, and he confirms us in the way in which we want to go. This is where self-examination is so important. This is where you need to get on your prayer, on your knees in prayer, and not just in prayer, but in self-examination. Morning and evening. Not when you're too tired to think. Not giving God the dog end of your day. Because you need to get in touch with yourself and with him. And to be aware of what is your dominant desire or not. And ask him to incline you towards him. Because he will eagerly do it. And I recognize that you cannot do this in your own strength. That you do not have the unaided psychological ability to do this, and you certainly will not do it by simply understanding intellectual truth, by simply having true theology in your head. That is not what it's about. You can have true theology in your head and you totally be unspiritual, and Solomon again in his later life is a parade example of that.